Gavin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, Filling the Void. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than the TSA. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
Pip Helix.
Hi, everyone.
On the show tonight, EpiPen prices suddenly get extremely expensive. Then they go down a little bit, but still expensive. San Francisco 49ers quarterback sits during the national anthem because he's sticking up for minorities. That's what he says. A new college course called Stop White People. Katy Perry does something really cool for a catfishing victim, I guess. And I got a brand new You Stink.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yes, I got it. Well, why are you looking at me like that?
I'm not. I'm showing exuberance.
Yeah, but it was like concern. Like, uh-oh, he's got a You Stink.
It wasn't about you.
No.
Joe wasn't released into the public. He doesn't have one this week.
No.
He was captive this week. All right, let's get into this. Should we get into this EpiPen story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a lot here. It's been all over the news. So Mylan CEO Heather Bresch, his total compensation from starting in 2007, she was earning $2.5 million. 2015, she was earning $19 million, a 671% increase. Pip is upset. I can see it already. During the same period, the company raised EpiPen prices from an average wholesale price of $57 to $318. A 461% increase. Numbers are fun. So in 2007, the company Mylan bought the rights to EpiPen. And what EpiPen is, EpiPen's not the medicine that's inside. It's the delivery device
right.
to get the medicine to the person. I think it's like a needle.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what they bought. And this is to stop potentially fatal allergic reactions, you know, peanuts, whatever the case may be. In 2008 and 2009, Mylan raised the price 5%. At the end of 2009, it tried out a 19% hike for fun. The years 2010 to 2013 saw a succession of 10% price hikes. And from the fourth quarter of 2013 to the second quarter of 2016, they steadily raised the price 15% every quarter.
Every quarter.
So that's 60% a year. It's pretty steep. The stock price has more than tripled. They went from $13.29 in 2007 to $47.59 in 2016. After they acquired the EpiPen, they also amped up their lobbying efforts. They spent from $270,000 to $1.2 million. So they've really gone down. Legislation enhanced its bottom line, with the FDA changing its recommendations in 2010 that the EpiPens be sold in a package instead of singulars. That means it's going to be more.
Right.
In 2013, the government passed a law to give block grants to states that required they be stocked in public schools. So now all these schools have to get it from EpiPen.
Right.
From Mylan, excuse me. Among the usual advice for lower prescription drug costs is to seek out a generic alternative. But because of the patent EpiPen delivery system, they don't really have a generic delivery system.
There is a generic.
No, they have the medicine, but they don't have the delivery tool yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're saying. So you're kind of screwed. Mylan has reduced the cost of EpiPens for some people after coming under fire from politicians. But, you know, the CEO said, listen, I got a business to run, which is true. She said we have over 600 products and that we got mid-six-digit erosion. So they actually lost money. So they're trying to make up for that loss on the EpiPen.
Right.
But if you need the EpiPen, you don't really care about those other things. And she said nobody talks about the price decreases. The price of EpiPen, a life-saving medication delivery system for people with severe allergies, has increased more than 400% in the past decade. Hillary Clinton spoken against it. The company announced it's reducing the cost of EpiPens through the use of saving cards that will cover up $300 for the EpiPen 2-pack. And they're going to make it in half. So Mylan is doubling the eligibility for patient assistance programs so more people can get assistance. Bresch said the fight on the $300 billion pharmaceutical market is real. We need to fix it because it's not sustainable. We're going to continue to run a business, and we're going to continue to meet the supply and demand. Bresch said Mylan subsidized EpiPens in parts of the world, but it has invested resources into a broken healthcare system. So she's blaming the healthcare system. So then there was outcry, and Mylan's stock dropped 11% in a week. I got to tell you, this is going to be controversial. I don't have a problem with her. I don't have a problem with her. Because this is the system. You know, if we laud Donald Trump, you know, as some people do, for doing the things that he does because he's a businessman, she's a CEO. Her responsibility is to the stockholders. This is the system they were given. I don't like it. I don't like the system. But what's she doing wrong?
The tremendous, tremendous increases in this one particular brand, that's what's wrong.
Right, but if you own the stock, if you're an investor, you're thrilled with her. You're not going to get rid of the CEO.
Right, but it's on the backs of the people who need this.
But that's always the
and
case.
There's no other show in town.
This is the system we have. Right. This is what we have created.
Right.
Unless, and hey, I'm all for it. I've long ago said I don't think our medical industry, whether it be our doctors or our pharmaceuticals, need to be a for-profit thing. I'm for socialized medicine.
Yes.
And Joe, you traditionally are not for socialized medicine.
Well, the thing, no, I'm not, and it's the quality of the care. But however, in this case, you know, it's. The pharmaceutical companies, what the pharmaceutical companies get away with, what the pharmaceutical companies do. Basically, the cost of a drug and the expense of a drug is based on the development, the research money that goes into
right.
the development of the drug, which they work to pay off.
And remember, they develop a lot of things that never see the light of day because of the FDA. There's a lot of things where they invest millions of dollars. And nothing happens.
And it never pans out.
And she talks about the erosion where things get cheaper. Because you got to remember, what happens is when these patents wear off, then you can get the generic drugs.
Right.
So I think we should make it. I think the way to do I like the capitalism of everybody selling off the stock. I dig that. Mm-hmm. I think we should make it easier to get medicine from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as her, as a CEO, and listen, if I had a kid who needed it, I'd be angry. And I am angry. But I don't have a problem with her because she is just part of the system. Just like you can't get angry for Donald Trump for doing all the things he did as a businessman. You go, well, he's a businessman. It's different now. He's running for office. He's going to be different. All right. Well, he was a businessman. He was doing the thing that was important for his business. She's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is when you have somebody that has the complete hold over the entire market of something that people
it's
need.
A patent. So you right. if you don't protect these companies with patents, then nobody's going to innovate because
right,
it could
true.
Be stolen immediately.
Well, and the other thing is that I have a problem with the idea of getting medications from overseas. Excuse me. Not that our FDA is foolproof by any means, but the idea that we don't have the fail-safes, we don't have the product fail-safes with things that are coming
you
from
also
overseas. Do you want to buy drugs from China?
But you hear stories of overseas, like in other countries, where they have these drugs that we can't get.
We can't get because of the FDA.
Because they work really well.
Right.
Listen,
right.
This is the system we have in place.
Mm-hmm.
She's playing by the rules.
Right.
If you're a Donald Trump supporter... You can't be outraged. And I saw a lot of Trump supporters were. And I'm not a Trump supporter, and I'm not outraged. Because I just go, well, this has been crap for years. This is what you want. And Congress is just pretending to be outraged because they take all the money, as the article said, from the lobbyists.
Right. But one of my friends was pointing out that
one of your real-life friends?
Yes, one of my real-life friends was pointing out is that, you have this company, and they're lobbying for the government to make sure that every school has an EpiPen, which is on the backs of the taxpayers.
Right.
But then you go and you jack up the price.
But money is speech. We learned that in Citizens United. They're playing by the rules. This is the rules we've put in place. And again, this is an argument for Donald Trump. If you think the whole system is rigged and corrupt, Donald Trump's the one who's going to say, I'm going to rip it all apart.
Well, this is a window on how... It is a problematic system. Healthcare is broken in our country.
Well, that's what the CEO of Mylan is saying.
Yeah.
Well, and that's one thing they have to look at. I mean, the typical dose of the product costs about a dollar to make.
Well, they also said that they've now come out with a generic one. This came out the other day, like a generic EpiPen.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand how the same company could have a generic version of their own. I don't know
I've
what
never really understood that either.
I think that's a bunch of hogwash.
Yeah.
But I think this is capitalism again. They got the public backlash.
But do you think that in regards to a drug company, they should have more ethic responsibility on that?
No, Joe. I mean, what I would like is yes. But no, this is capitalism. Our society has decided that everything needs to be for profit, including medicine.
Yeah, but we don't have a fully capitalist society.
No, but we've decided as a society that doctors and pharmaceuticals are for profit. We've decided that.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
This is what you get. If this is what you decided, this is what you get. That's why I'm not mad at it. I'm mad at the system.
Yeah.
But as far as her doing, I'm not mad at her. I don't look at her as a terrible person. She's a business person. She's got shareholders. She's doing her job.
What was the percentage on her raise?
And I 600 and something.
Yeah, I know that this is very classist of me, but it's like, you pig. You pig. But
if you're her shareholders and they're making money off of her and she's doing her job. She's except for this snafu, because then nobody wants bad PR.
It's a political it's a PR nightmare.
We had the same guy with the Scarelli who did it with the AIDS drug.
And look what happened to him. He's excoriated. That's because people.
That's capitalism too.
Yeah, I know.
So it does work, kinda.
Not really, because they were allowed to do it.
Well. Listen, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's terrible. Them's the rules. Change the rules. You're listening to Davin's Den. When we come back, somebody else is a little bit of a rule breaker. Colin Kaepernick. Don't go anywhere.
Class.
Davin's Den. That's what you're listening to. As you can imagine on the break, we had more to say about that topic. It's a complicated
it's,
topic.
It's a very complicated topic.
Yeah, I mean, a
10-minute
segment doesn't really do it justice.
No.
The issue is, though, either you want more regulation or you don't. And I'm for more regulation, but if you don't, there's nothing wrong with it. This is what you get. This is the outcome. It's messy. There's winners and losers in capitalism, and unfortunately, sick kids
but
are the losers.
Like, yeah, but sometimes it's like, you know, if you see people get hit by cars in a road that might need a little work or say, well, you know, you got to get to work. You need a road. Well, you got to do it. Well, you want more, you know, intrusion in your life? There's a problem with the road. We need it to get fixed.
I don't think government's the problem. I mean, sometimes government screws things up, and you'll hear in my "you stink" in a little while. But I mean, sometimes we need government to intervene.
Exactly. Sometimes you need government to intervene, which is not saying you're not for government.
But you can't pick and choose which companies you're going to go after. And they need to make a profit. They need to make a profit because they spend so because you want them to innovate.
Yes, and it's the whole pharmaceutical industry as a whole, where it needs to be regulated. It needs to take a look at if you need a medicine and it's very expensive. It needs to. And yeah,
you heard it here. Joe's for big government.
No, I'm not for big. You got to understand. You got to pick and choose. Big government means I want everything regulated. There are certain areas for the good of the public that it needs to be regulated.
That's what I said. Socialized
medicine is taking the whole thing over. Regulating it is a different ball of wax. Taking a look at something, seeing why it's happening, and for the good of the public, regulating it where it turns out well.
Your good of the public is bad for somebody else. That's the way it is.
But it's a pick
your regulation thing. Means a bunch of people get laid off. That's just the way it is.
But we were not allowed to have monopolies in utilities and other.
You
companies.
Have patents. You have patents.
Yeah.
They have patents.
No,
and
I
the patents
that.
Wear off, and then there'll be a bunch of other EpiPen delivery systems. And that'll be it. They'll move on to the next thing.
Right, but the whole thing is the way it seems that you're presenting this is, well, there's nothing you can do about it. You know,
no,
you know,
I
know. Either this or it's that. It's either this or that. And, you know, that's it's either got to be this or that.
In the current system, there's nothing that can be done. That you can outrage, except what was done. Outrage, publicly shame them, sell off the stock. That's where you heard him. That's what was done. I got no issue with that.
Well, he also caught a lot of flack. I mean, you know, a lot of flack in the past week over that. But
right,
still,
that's what it is.
The pharmaceutical industry as a whole needs to be looked at.
All right. Speaking of outrage, 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick refused to stand for the playing of the national anthem in protest of what he seems are wrongdoings against African-Americans and minorities in the United States. He says, I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. Colin Kaepernick comes from a mixed family. He's biracial.
Right.
I think he was. I think he's adopted and was raised by white people.
Yes.
But he is biracial. He did also single out police, quote-unquote, brutality as one of the issues. Yeah, he told NFL Media an exclusive interview after the game, to me, this is bigger than football, and it'll be selfish on my part to look the other way. The 49ers said the national anthem is and always will be a special part of the pregame ceremony, but they're not going to force him to do it. It's his liberties. The NFL said they're not going to do anything about it because it's his civil liberties. And that's pretty much it, although he's gotten a lot of flack from other athletes. I'm going to say this. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. And I think it's especially interesting because this guy's a backup quarterback who might get cut. It's a lot easier to do when you're Aaron Rodgers and you're the franchise. You know, when you're going to get – because if he gets cut, he's still going to get his money. But his career might be over this. Because a lot of people aren't going to want to touch him.
Right.
After this. I mean, they might.
Yeah.
They might. I mean, the Cowboys need a quarterback now, and they always take, you know, people that people don't agree with. But I think with Colin Kaepernick, the next step is, okay, you've drawn attention to the issue. Maybe. What's next? It can't just be, I'm going to sit out. You have to put your money where your mouth is. You have to be an activist. You have to be an advocate. Yeah, you have to work towards solutions.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you're a millionaire. Why don't you start facing it towards that? And also, this whole Black Lives Matter thing is so misguided.
Well, he didn't quote Black Lives Matter, so don't put that in there.
But it's part of it, and it's been part of the story, okay? Basically, the whole Black Lives Matter movement, and people like this, are going about it the wrong way. Okay, it's going to totally shoot them in the foot.
How did he go about it the wrong way?
Because he puts it up where we have a black president, okay? There's a lot of opportunity for black people. Basically, with this whole Black Lives Matter thing, and this whole outrage is by a whole bunch of black leaders supporting people that have been shot or whatever by the police, resisting arrest. Most of them have been criminals. They don't comply, and they're not looking what's going on in their own neighborhoods. Now, what happens is when you say anything about this, you're called a racist. And why? Because nobody wants to deal with
The issue here is there's somebody who has a platform. And he felt strongly about it. Listen, you and I talk about things we feel strongly about in our act. You know, you can't really do it as a football player in the middle of a game, in the middle of a huddle, you know, do a sit-in. You can't do that. You'll get flagged 15 yards. I mean, I mean, this is his platform. This is his freedom. You don't want to cost the team. What he did does not hurt his teammates. What he did does not hurt the game. He brought attention to it. Now, is he bringing attention to himself or the issue? That could be debated. It's freedom of speech. And, you know, the men and women that have fought for this freedom of speech, who've given their lives overseas, they fought for this right.
Here's the thing. Here's the key thing. I don't like what he did. I don't agree with what he did. I think what he did stinks. However, I'm not going to go, well, he should be fired, he should be cut, whatever. You have the right to speak, pay the consequences, but you have that right. And as somebody, you know, you can't go, well, you know, he should be fired, he should, oh, yeah,
this
you know,
that, people are
judge
that.
Shall you not be judged. Because basically, like, as a comic, if I say.
Teach on, Brother John.
But just as a comic, I don't like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I say stuff on stage which is controversial. So, you know, for me to say, talk about the $15 an hour is nonsense, you know, and all this other stuff that I put in my act. And I, you know, some nights I fight the battle, some nights I don't. However, I'm not going to sit here and go, I don't like what he said, but I'm not going to, you should be fired. You should. No, you got that right. You pay the consequences.
I got no problem. And right, there are consequences. He's going to get, his job just got a lot harder. He has people who are rooting openly against him, and it is going to be harder for him to find another job because he might get cut because he was a Super Bowl quarterback.
Plus, you're going to have a defensive line Sunday after Sunday that might disagree with you.
You know what? You're right. You might have refs that all of a sudden don't see the roughing the passer.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a regular entertainer, you go on stage, you can act, whatever. You got a defensive line coming out that's not too thrilled with you anyway.
Yeah,
that's even more madder now coming at you every damn Sunday.
And you know what? You know what? You might have an offensive line that all of a sudden doesn't want to block.
We discussed that at the day program today. Oopsie!
Listen!
I was tying my shoe when he came to
me. But to me, that just makes what he did more brave. He knows. He knows.
I was just going to say the same thing because he isn't in a cushy position. Because
he's not the franchise.
No, he's not. And he's not like one of these he's not a Michael Jordan, you know? I mean, he's not somebody that is like such a key player and such a key name.
Not anymore. He used to be.
But the thing is that, you know, he's not in a cushy position. He is making himself vulnerable by standing up for what he believes or sitting down for what he believes, rather. But the thing is that it's like whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it, you have to, as an American, agree with the fact that he has a platform and he's using it for what he believes.
We often complain that people with platforms don't do enough.
Right.
He's doing it. The issue is not whether you agree or disagree with what he's fighting for.
Right.
That's not the issue. That's secondary.
Yeah, I mean, that's another conversation.
Right. But, you know, he's a guy who's doing something.
Yeah.
I give it you know, he doesn't really have, I mean, I guess he could give it in a speech, I guess.
Right. I mean, and.
But this is something that got noticed. But like I said, there's got to be more. It can't just be I'm sitting. And listen, there was a player in the NBA in 1996 who was Muslim who sat out the national anthem, mm-hmm. and he got fined by the NBA. And Carlos Delgado, who used to be with the New York Mets, sat out during the national anthem because we bomb part. We our Navy drops bombs in parts of Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
and he was sitting out for that, and he caught a lot of flack.
Yeah.
So there are. This isn't unprecedented. These guys know what's going on. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I don't remember the name of the player, but there was an athlete who held his hand in basically sort of the Black Power salute.
76 or yeah. 72, the Olympics.
I don't know if it's
76. I have a problem with it, but I'm not going to. He should
you
be
fired.
You have
a problem with what he's sticking up for. You don't have a problem for him doing it. You have a problem for his
but
particular
I don't want him fired. I don't want him cut. I don't want him.
But your issue is not. But like what I'm saying is your issue is not with him doing it. Your issue is you happen to disagree with his cause.
I disagree with it, but I'm not going to have him fired. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to have him removed. I'm not going to ask that, you know, he's not in sports anymore.
As he gets carried off
but
on a
because
stretcher.
Because that's hypocritical on my part as an entertainer.
Yeah.
All right. We'll try to do some more entertaining. Don't go anywhere. Stop white people course. Stay seated. The Den. 'Tis been a show of controversial topics tonight.
Yes, very.
So why stop?
Not only controversial topics, topics that are there's good arguments on both sides of the aisle.
It's almost like somebody scripted this. It's like almost like somebody planned a radio show, Joe.
What? Who planned this? Which one of you bastards planned this?
It's almost like there was a format in place, and there was like a forum. To do this, if only.
We'll have no more of that.
No, we won't. But, well, after this segment, maybe.
Oh, all right.
So State University of New York at Binghamton has created a course called Stop White People. I don't know what you white people are doing, but knock it off.
Right
knock
now.
Knock it off. Yeah, you whiteies.
You gotta be stopped. Paying your taxes.
Oh,
liberals.
Uh-oh, here we go.
There we go. There's going to be a unicorn song coming up. anyway, so it intends resident advisors to take. So if you like are if you work in the dorms, like the ones who keep the dorms running,
with the RAs,
yeah,
those guys, yeah.
That's what a resident advisor is, Joe.
Okay,
you abbreviated it well. liberals.
I don't think we're allowed to abbreviate on this segment.
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Conservatives always want us to get less, abbreviating it, taking away our extra letters. The premise of the session is to help others take the next step in understanding diversity, privilege, and the society we function within. Learning about these topics is a good first step, but when encountered with, quote, good arguments from uneducated people, how do you respond? I flip them the bird. Now, this open discussion will give attendees the tools to do so and hopefully expand upon what they may already know. For a university dedicated to providing an inclusive environment, calling an event hashtag Stop White People 2K16 seems counterproductive at best.
I can't believe they said that.
Well, that was a Binghamton Review Journal's Robert Hecht. So the name is divisive. University administrators were quick to respond to these criticisms, assuring critics that their course does not harbor a racist agenda.
But it's called Stop White People.
Well, they
can't really.
They can't write Stop Joe.
But it doesn't harbor racism.
No, not at all.
Not like that whole no blacks thing we tried a couple of months ago.
Yeah. I believe that was the 1800s.
Yeah. And there's been some scars, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it beats their first draft, Knock It Off Whitey.
That was my first draft. We verified that the actual program content was not anti-white, Brian Rose, Vice President for Student Affairs, said. The program title, hashtag StopWhitePeople2K16, was drawn from a familiar hashtag in use on Twitter. It was not invented by the program facilitators, Rose said in a statement. It is my understanding that the hashtag is commonly used ironically.
But it's stupid and we'll use it.
Because this is a university and all Twitter conventions will be used here.
Let everybody should know the white people are outraged on the show. I like the course's goal. I like the goal of diversity. I don't know if we need to hold up one race to stop in particular.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea that you're trying to... If the course... Now, first of all, I don't know that it necessarily...
Maybe they really are trying to stop white people. Like, buy up all the mayonnaise.
Close.
Burn down every Walmart.
Make sure all the Grey Poupon is in our stockpile.
Every golf course on fire. We must stop white people. Dry up all the pools. We must stop white people.
I know. Close down every Abercrombie.
We must stop
white people.
I mean, it's a bad name.
It's a terrible name.
It's not only a bad name, I also think it's kind of heavy-handed on their
you
part.
You think?
Yeah.
You're going to go on a limb?
Because basically, the kids that are going into college, they have been raised in an environment of, and this is a good thing, an environment of tolerance,
yes.
an environment of understanding, mm-hmm. an environment of racism where, you know, our parents were, our parents
were. Well, I don't think they were raised, hopefully they weren't raised in an environment of racism.
But when I was growing up, I was, and you learned from the mistakes of your parents to be more open and more understanding.
Were we?
Okay, I see what you're
okay?
saying.
And from generation to generation, it's gotten more open and understanding.
Yes. Yes.
Where when you go into this environment, you make friends and you learn to, you know, get along
so
with
you
each
agree
other.
With the message.
The message is there, but the message is something that they'll do without the college being heavy-handed.
Yeah,
because they know that, you know, we're all in this together. We're all this, you know, because that's the environment these kids were brought in. But you bring them and go, white people are bad.
The message doesn't say white people are bad.
But
the course description doesn't say white people are bad.
The title did.
The title did.
I don't think
just
that.
See a lot of people
but
disappointed.
But listen to me. On a college campus, do you think that there's that much intolerance where they have to hit them over the head with this thing?
Yes. I think people come from all sorts of backgrounds. I think the course is a great course.
Yeah.
That everybody should take. I think when you're getting your course names from Twitter, there might be an issue. Because I'm not really going to Twitter for higher education.
That's what I'm saying before.
I think they can do a little better than that.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know who put together the course. If it was just, you know, it's supposed to be a teaching tool for RAs. Now, I understand that RAs have a lot of situations where they have to mediate between students. They have to oversee them.
It should be for everybody.
It should be for everyone. I don't know why the RAs in particular have to have a class on tolerance. It's a little bizarre.
Can you imagine if they called it Stop Black People? I mean, it'd be very big in the South. But can you imagine?
No.
I mean, you can't
but
do that.
Even tolerance. Know? They should have classes on where people would probably hide their weed and where the keg could be if they're going to be RAs. That's what they should be teaching them.
I think that's what they need. That's
their job.
They mostly need.
That's what. Where's the weed? Don't paint on the cabinet. Where are you hiding the keg? I know it's in here. I mean, hell, when I went to school, we dragged a deer into our room.
What?
And we're gutting it.
Wait, hold on.
What?
Yeah.
Quickly.
What? Yeah. Well, we were. You know, when I was up at the logging school. You know, one of the guys went
to college.
It was trade school. So we went out. One of the
No. Lumberjacking in university. I thought you were like in a dorm room.
We were in a dorm room, and we had a deer in there that we were gutting. And the RA
How
came in.
How big is this dorm room?
It was like an apartment. So it was a dorm. It was a dorm. We stayed at the dorms. We were getting our training before we went to.
Was it an apartment or a dorm room? Those are two different things.
It was a dorm room.
But it was big.
It was big.
Big enough to gut.
And we had
how big's your room? Big enough to gut a deer?
One of my roommates went out, stumbled one Sunday morning. I'm going to go hunting. I figured he'd shoot himself in the leg or something like that. Son of a bitch got a 10-point buck, brings the thing back. Now we had to put him somewhere. So we brought him in our place. And then the RAs came in and they found him. What's that? It's a coat rack. You know?
You're not getting that at usual liberal arts school.
No. Not really. That's so bizarre. But the long and the short of it is this class, it's poorly named. It maybe has an admirable goal. Poorly named.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think. Well, but I do want to go to school with Joe.
Yeah.
That seems fun.
Yes.
Joe, what'd you learn? How to gut a deer, did you?
Yeah.
The University of Lumber and Taxidermy.
Yeah. All right. Katy Perry, Catfishing, when we come back. We're back. You are listening to Davin's Den. Been a fun show. A little, something not so controversial. Well, maybe the controversial. Maybe we'll fight with each other. I don't know. You can only hope.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Who's what? Never mind.
maybe Joe will tell us the time you made passion to a bull in college. Maybe that's coming with this segment. I don't know. So we all know the catfishing. The scammers, they convince you to fall in love with somebody. It's not them.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Something we've covered quite a bit on this show. Turns out... Somebody was pretending to be Katy Perry.
You know, I think that probably every famous person that's out there, there's somebody pretending to be one of them. Wouldn't you think?
No, but why would you try to pretend to be somebody famous? Because it's easy to check up on famous people.
Yeah, but you know what? If you actually
pretend to be a zilch, you know. That's what I said that. She looks at Joe. That was funny. You looked at Joe. I go, pretend to be.
That was not why. I wanted to see his reaction.
That was like when somebody was calling in as me on Opie and Anthony. Oh. And people are calling about it. And then he gets me on the phone. And he goes, yeah, do you know that there's a Joe Curry calling in as you? And I go, yeah. And he goes, you know what the saddest part is? And I'm like, what? He wants to be you.
That's a good line.
It's the proper line.
I don't want to be me.
Well, I mean, I back to your question, though, it's like, why wouldn't you be a zilch? Yeah, but you're not going to get as much play as Katy Perry.
No, but you could be an attractive model or attractive somebody else.
Right.
So this guy falls in love with Katy Perry, with the scammer, the catfish.
As you would.
Well, I mean, her boobs shoot fireworks. I would.
And whipped cream. I mean, what's not to love?
Now I'm hungry and I'm horny.
But oh, my.
You're only two emotions.
So this person pretends to be Katy Perry for 6 years. And then Katy Perry, you know, acknowledges him because they did it on the show, catfishing. But she was married. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a celebrity. She's all over the place. What's the excuse for not meeting you and having this husband? That's going to get in the way of things.
And why does she want to have a relationship with somebody she's never seen in person?
I don't know. She was
somebody's
very understanding.
Lonely and disillusioned?
Well, the catfished person, yes. Yeah. But, I mean, why would Katy Perry? You have to, when you're this person sitting at home, you have to ask yourself, what the heck would a Katy Perry want with me?
Yeah.
I ask the same question in this house every day.
But it's not just Why doesn't Katy Perry
well,
come
no, it's
to
just
me?
An endless list of people. Why would they want to be with me? It's endless. But yeah, she was very magnanimous. And she said, well, you know, sometimes people on different coasts, they get different information.
Generous,
the Katy Perry. All right. I got to use Stink to wrap up this show.
Listen
to the Den. We are back. Last segment of Davin's Den for this show. I'm trying to find something. Where are you?
I'm right here.
Oh, here it is. I got a new You Stink. Joe had the You Stink last week. I got a You Stink this week. So let me play Joe saying it, which takes me longer than for Joe to actually say it. But nonetheless, here it is.
You Stink!
There it was. Took me much longer to find it.
Than it says it.
So I went to Hilton Head this past week.
Yeah, nice.
Flew out of JFK.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oof.
Yeah, that is the proper response.
Well, no, yeah. Just the simple fact that you couldn't fly out of Newark.
I could, but it costs more to fly. You go JetBlue. Their hub
because they needed the money. Right,
yeah, but it's just
thank you, Dice Curry.
But with the construction and everything out there, it's got to be so painful.
Well, LaGuardia's
no,
even
I do
worse
because I like a long ride on the LIE. Actually, I don't even know if I take the LIE.
You don't. Yeah. Take the Van Wyck.
It's all the same to me. All Long Island traffic stinks. But that's not even what your stink is about. It's not a traffic report. The traffic was the least of my issues. It was a lovely drive.
Right.
Long Island roads. You stink. Okay, on to the next one.
So JetBlue has recently stopped giving you free luggage. You know, it used to be free check luggage. They stopped that. So now it's only Southwest that does that. So we get in. And you know how you have to size up your carry-on to see if it fits?
Yeah.
And little sizers. Mm-hmm. So we get it. Right when we get into the airport, there's a Sherpa woman there.
Okay.
A Sherpa woman. A small, probably sturdy-looking foreign woman that I could picture going up the mountains that you would, like, put luggage on and she would lead the way. A Sherpa.
Okay.
So we're greeted by
this. She was setting up your base camp, was she?
She was. Okay. So we printed out our boarding passes. So we just want to go to the TSA, go through the security, which is always a good time.
Mm. Yeah.
So she's like, so she makes me size my little my carry on.
Yes.
And like the handle's a little broken on the carry on, so it doesn't go all the way down.
Right.
So it's like a little too big. But I've taken her on other flights before.
And they don't bust you about
Yeah, she's
it,
like,
yeah.
No, she's like, oh, you got to check it. I'm like, I'm not checking it. So now I'm trying to squeeze.
Now I'm trying to,
and my wife is getting pissed off too, as she should. And I'm trying
at
to,
you or her?
At the Sherpa.
Okay.
So I'm trying to squeeze my carry-on into this little vice-like thing so it fits. And I smash the nail of my finger, like I smush it.
Ow,
you know how, like where it squeezes again? Yeah. So now my first instinct is to backslap the Sherpa. With the, like a smack with the back of the, because that's what you do with the Sherpa. Yeah, their hired help, lead the way, Sherpa. But if I went to backsmack her.
You'd be in jail.
No, I probably would have missed because I probably would have swung over her stupid little head.
And smack the wife.
Yeah, I don't know.
Didn't you have enough with the wiffle ball?
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah.
So I'm getting frustrated. She's like, oh, we'll go to the counter. Go to the JetBlue counter. There's nobody at the JetBlue counter. Yeah, exactly. Joe's looking cockeyed, which is the right way. There's nobody at the JetBlue counter. So now we got to find the kiosk, because that's the new thing, the kiosk. Everybody wants you to use the kiosk.
Yes.
So we talked to another woman there. We explained that the Sherpa's being a real pain in the neck.
Right.
She's like, which one? We explained the midget-looking one over there. The half a human over there.
Oh, man.
So she's
no
like,
hard feelings, huh?
No. So the JetBlue, they'll just go to another entry. So, okay, we didn't know there was another entry. So we go to another entry. Walk past Sherpa. You are not taking us to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro.
That's right. We found a new Sherpa.
We found a new. Well, this was
you
a lovely,
went over her head?
Yes, funny. I did, Pip. And a lovely African-American lady did not even look twice. Just, I wheeled my little carry-on in.
Oh, there you
not
go.
Even an issue.
Mm. Right.
So a U-Stink goes to the U-Sherpa, because apparently she's like the luggage Nazi.
Apparently
now JetBlue's going to nickel and dime me every step of the way.
Yep.
So whatever. So we go to TSA. And you know how you put your little luggage on the conveyor belt so they can X-ray it?
Yeah. Yes.
Whatevs. They pull my luggage off. And now it's just sitting there on the side.
Okay.
And it's not coming out to me anymore.
Hmm.
But there's nobody at the end of the conveyor belt.
Oh.
There should be somebody at the end of the conveyor belt who's going to take the luggage and explain what is going on.
Yeah.
That should be what happens. That is not happening. So, I'm getting aggravated. So now I go to the next lane, and there's this guy there who's working where there should be somebody on my lane. I'm like, hey, is there anybody over here? He's like, get back. Just wait online. I'm like, no. Is there anybody working over here?
You're right.
He's like, we'll get back in line. I'm like, I want to know if somebody's working here. He's like, behave yourself at the airport. What?
What?
We're going to be a timeout?
Listen, you walkie-talkie, $10 an hour, 95% failure rate, lousy government worker you. How dare you talk to me like that?
That meanwhile, what actually happened? Yes, sir.
No, I was outraged. No, they have no right to talk to me like that.
Yes,
especially,
they do. Anybody who gets to use the anal probe on you has every right to talk to
you
like
$10,
that.
$10? You know what? Enough with the government workers at the TSA. They stink. Their failure rate is outrageous. 95% of guns and crap gets through here, and I can't get an answer for my damn luggage? No.
Yeah, why is my stuff... Never mind. Get a behavior there. Why is my luggage up there not being attended to? You figure it out now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Joe. We're sympathetic on this.
You just created the unattended luggage.
Yes.
You created it.
Yes.
It was attended.
Nobody even
you put it over there.
Nobody even asked me if I packed it myself.
Yeah. No. was it out of your hands? Yes. It's sitting over there by itself.
So finally a woman comes over from TSA wearing her stupid blue sweater, TSA sweater.
Yep.
And she comes over and she starts giving it the old once over. You know, but they have this like little swab that they stick in. And I've had this with my computer bag.
Yes.
So I ask, and they find nothing,
of course.
I go, was it a false positive? She goes, no. I go, oh, so what was the issue? I'm not telling you. What? What? Yes, you should tell me.
Yeah, because you detained me. I want
to
know.
Yes, and that way if there's an issue, if something triggered it, maybe I know not to pay it to pack it for the return flight.
Yeah. Well, is that the way you explained it to her?
I was going to punch her. I was going to explain it to her.
Yeah.
but she could see. She clearly could see I was angry
because they're numbskulls, and they're on a power trip because they know that they have some sort of control over you.
You go to other airports. We flew out of Savannah back. No issue.
Yeah,
it's a treat. Only with the fakakta JFK.
Oh yeah,
these New York minimum wage BS walkie talkie. Get rid of them all. They're terrible. They stink at their jobs.
They do.
Privatize it so I have somebody to write an angry letter to. Because Obama don't care.
You have to wait.
No, they really are awful.
They are.
They're awful.
They have an attitude. Mm-hmm. And I can't stand that attitude. And this show has an attitude. But lucky for you, we're wrapping it up. Yeah. So you won't have to deal with it anymore. I'm taking my attitude on Friday, September 9th to Burton, Michigan at Chip's Supper Club for tickets. Call 810-875-6989. September 10th, I'll be in Durand, Michigan at the Durand Eagles. For tickets, call 989-288-2767. And Sunday on 9/11, when all tragedies happen, I'll be in Fenton, Michigan at the Fireplace.
Wow.
For tickets, call 810-629-4505. As always, you can check out the full episodes. Go to davinsden.com. Follow us on Facebook at davinsden. I am on Twitter at Davin Comedy. Joe?
Plankfoot at Twitter.com.
Pip?
Pip Helix.
Thank you guys for hanging out. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, keep on listening.